It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
When President Trump left for Camp David Saturday, Immigration and Customs Enforcement was gearing up for a weekend of raids, targeting the millions of illegals in 10 cities who have already been ordered deported. But hours later, Trump called off the sweeps for 2 weeks, tweeting, "If the Democrats and Republicans can get together and work out a solution. If not, deportations start. And if they do start, in some major cities, ICE agents will be completely on their own."
Our president has failed to build a wall, so instead he's going to go back to his old playbook of trying to rip families apart. Here in Los Angeles, we will not participate in that.
I want the immigrant community to know that I will continue to stand with you as your mayor.
San Francisco's mayor urged residents to call a hotline to report raids in progress, and Chicago has gone even further, blocking ICE from police records.
We have cut ICE off from access to any CPD databases so they cannot use information gathered by CPD to help facilitate their immoral roundup of immigrant families.
But ICE is now fighting back, saying this lack of cooperation not only puts the community at risk, but also cops, raising the possibility of so-called blue-on-blue incidents. Washington just passed the strictest sanctuary state law in the country, cracking down on any jurisdiction that still helps ICE.
I think we've sort of hit a critical mass, and this statute that the state passed is just one step too far.
Brian Wilcox says local jails ignoring detention requests has led to several innocent people getting raped and murdered in the Pacific Northwest. This convicted double rapist was just allowed out to allegedly attack his victim a third time.
ICE officials also say the lack of local cooperation has led to an ironic twist. Agents used to spend nearly all of their time scooping up criminal aliens in county jails. But with that not an option, field raids have taken their place, with more non-criminal aliens getting caught and deported.
Sandy Rios with you. That was Dan Springer on Fox News just last night. It is reaching critical mass, and yet the politicians still don't really care. They really don't, except for President Trump, who seems to care, but no one around him. No, that's not true. Many of the key people around him continue to undermine him. I told you yesterday that Tom Holman, who was the former director of Homeland Security under President Obama, you've seen him on television. He was the first one who said it's the acting head of Department of Homeland Security, Kevin McAleenan, who actually tipped the press to the president's plan to have ICE raid illegal immigrants' homes who were ignoring the orders to report to court or they would be deported. And there was a major sweep planned over the weekend. You heard Nancy Pelosi take credit for stopping that raid. I don't really think that's true now. She's preening about that, and I'm sure she did call him, but now we know more specifically that indeed it was Kevin McAleenan, the acting Department of Homeland Security, who leaked. Let me just read this to you. The Washington Post, Nick Miroff, was on the plane with Kevin McAleenan, and then suddenly on Friday, Nick Miroff broke this story in the Washington Post that ICE's enforcement and removal operations plan to conduct pre-dawn raids on Sunday to target up to 2,000 families in as many as 10 U.S. cities, some of which were spelled out in the article. The article then noted how McAleenan has been urging ICE, an agency within his department, to conduct a narrower, more targeted operation. The Post further related McAleenan's virulent opposition to following current law. It said that he has warned and he's maintained that ICE should not devote major resources to carrying out mass interior sweeps while telling lawmakers it needs emergency funding to address the crisis at the border. Of course, the emergency funding that's being discussed has nothing to do with funding ICE. It has nothing to do with making Americans more safe. It has to do with, because the Democrats are the ones in charge with writing it, with just building, having more beds for facilities, more help, more humanitarian aid, nothing to make Americans safe. Only things that this seems to me their chief concern is on making illegal immigrants safe. I'm not against making illegal immigrants safe in detention facilities, but I am against completely ignoring the dangers within your country. I was just thinking this morning as I woke up, I don't know, musing about, what do you think about when you wake up? I think about the fact that there are so many people pouring over the border who we have no idea who they are. There's going to be a disaster. There just is. And of course, no one talks about that, but I'm telling you, it's not just the, not just, as though that isn't bad enough, the murders, the rapes, it's not just that. From criminal illegal immigrants, it's going to be worse than that. That's what I predict. And so we have these ICE officers who are doing everything they can to help make us safe. Tom Holman was on Fox, at least a, I don't know if it was this morning, it was a live appearance. I don't think so. I think it's something he did yesterday. And I just wanted you to hear the just what he had to say about these agents and what they do on the border. This is Tom Holman.
I've seen Border Patrol agents share their lunches with people they arrest. They bring toys from their own home so these children play with. And people want to talk about the mistreatment. Look, Border Patrol facilities weren't built to handle, you know, women and children, and especially when it's built for 100 and they got 500 there. And they've been asking Congress for months to give them money so they can have more health and human services beds that are designed for children and have the proper facilities there for them. But Congress has not done anything. They haven't offered up one fix to this crisis. So stop blaming the men and women who are down there risking their own safety to secure this border and taking care of women and children, which a lot of these border patrol agents aren't parents themselves. They're doing the best they can in difficult circumstances. So maybe watch New York Times. I'll thank the fine men and women of the Border Patrol for dealing with such a chaotic situation, doing the best they can. This is Congress's failure. They could give the money.
Yeah, so that's Tom Holman's passionate view. And he said a lot of things. We've actually not been able to play all the clips I wanted to play. But I wanted you to hear that. And also, you know, it's not just Border Patrol agents are trying to do humanitarian things that are not part of their job duties. We've known that for a long time. They were the ones changing diapers, you know, doing child care. This happened under Barack Obama's administration because they've been so overwhelmed. But what Kevin McAleenan did was put ICE agents in danger. Carol Danko, who is an ICE spokesperson, she said in her statement that they were compelled to abort the operation in light of security risks. Quote, any leak telegraphing sensitive law enforcement operations is egregious and puts our officers' safety in danger. So here you have the acting director of Department of Homeland Security leaking a raid that ICE is going to conduct and putting those ICE agents as danger. Do you in danger? Anyone think that policemen and agents, any law enforcement agents are in danger right now? Any problem that they might be shot or killed? I mean, honestly, this is disgraceful. The president should ask, he should strip Kevin McAleenan of his duties. He's not confirmed. That's the problem. It's hard for him to get a confirmation through the Senate right now, through the Senate. And so he has to get someone he can confirm. But Kevin McAleenan, there's got to be some better acting person than him. He needs to be booted to the curb. That's my personal opinion. Meanwhile, you're going to be hearing a lot about that bill coming up in the House. We'll talk more about it. But to me, it's just blah, blah, blah. They'll not do anything significant. They won't. They just won't. The only thing they're going to do is try to help more people come across the border. That's it. That's it. And the polls are showing that the American people are becoming more and more exercised over this. But it's amazing. In Washington, it's like crickets. The politicians don't care. You know, Mitch McConnell doesn't care. Kevin McCarthy doesn't care. They are the ones, you know, running the Republican Party in the House and the Senate. In fact, Mitch McConnell's running the entire Senate. He doesn't do anything about this. Nothing. He does nothing. And I'm just disgusted. I have been for a long time. I continue to be disgusted. I told you yesterday about the James O'Keefe undercover video of the Google executives. We played that, and I suggested to you that you get away from Google, run, do not walk. I am suggesting personally, I went to DuckDuckGo, And I'm really happy with it. I've been using it just for probably not even quite a week yet, but I really do like it. And I'm also suggesting, rather than Gmail, I'm suggesting Proton Mail. I've heard great things about it, and I'm in the process of including that in my adding that email address so that I can sort of morph into that. But it's excellent. And so, but here's the deal: the Google undercover video that there was a Google whistleblower, someone who worked at Google who came to James to spill the beans on what's going on inside. Now, it's been sort of labeled as, which is true, that they want to stop President Trump from winning in 2020, doing everything they can. They will change their search engine. They're changing everything. But to me, as egregious as that is, and it is egregious, talk about, you know, collusion to affect an election. But the most egregious thing to me is what I said to you yesterday. It's that they have made a decision to try to control what you see, what you don't see. Those algorithms that used to claim that they just pulled up news articles, your search just pulled up what most people were looking at, and they came up in order of preference. But that's just not true. It's also not true that they are not objective arbiters. They're doing everything they can to make you think certain things. And so I just wanted to give you just another excerpt from that video just to give you an idea of what we're talking about. This is clip 15.
So I have Google.com up in front of me, and I'm going to try to put this AI machine learning thing to the test. I'm going to type in the following words: men can. And I see men can have babies, men can get pregnant, men can have periods, men can cook. Do most people search for that stuff, or what is the company doing internally?
No, people aren't searching for this. This is literally coming from source of truth databases that they've selected represent the truth and that they are pulling this information from.
And then we try it again with, let's try this with women can. I see women can vote, women can do it, women can do anything, women can be drafted.
Yes.
Seems a little interesting.
So all these examples are part of the social justice narrative, right? And so the sources of truth that ML Fairness is selecting from to amplify are saying these keywords. And so because that source of truth has been vandalized, the output of the algorithm is also reflecting that vandalism.
Yeah, so what they're trying to say is, just imagine your kids. I imagine my grandchildren who are just now learning about the internet, just asking questions about life and about various things. And so let's say my granddaughter enters in women can, and she sees women can do anything. Women can be in combat. And she just wants to say men can. And she says men can get pregnant. Men can. The point is, Google is trying to program our children, our grandchildren, and us into thinking what they want us to think. They are blocking out sources of information. I can't go into all the details of that, but they're blocking out information that would counter that. And they're trying to make you think the way they think you should think. It's very, very dangerous. We'll put that video of Veritas, Project Veritas, on our Facebook page again. I want to tell you, since yesterday, the Main Street Media has not reported this at all. We know that YouTube has taken down the video. In fact, many of you probably had some trouble watching it for a while yesterday. I know I saw that on Facebook. Also, Amazon is showing that web services conveniently were knocked down his site in the larger Northwest area for several hours yesterday. We also know that some really good things are happening. We know that it's gotten about 1 million hits so far in a 24-hour period. So I'm just saying, watch that video. You'll be astounded. And then share that with as many people as you can. We have to get around them some way. And meanwhile, I think you should consider getting away from Google as your search engine, because they're watching everything you do, everywhere you go, whatever you do. And as I said yesterday, ask the Chinese in Hong Kong how that's working for them. It's turning against them. We have to stop it now. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Here's Walker Wildman for Redeem Clean Laundry Products.
Not only do you get a great product and you get to obviously clean your clothes,
get the stains out and use the multi-surface cleaner to clean your countertops and use the dryer sheets. You're doing all of this, and the money is going to support the work of American Family Association.
Redeem Clean Laundry products were developed by AFA supporters Len Ingram and Jim Duncan to assist in funding the mission of the American Family Association. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made right here in the United States.
The great thing about Redeem Clean is not only is the product great, but it goes to support a great cause, and that is the work of American Family Association.
For clean laundry and a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Dan Scavino, Director of White House Social Media. Mr. Scavino manages online content and communication for President Trump, who communicates daily with more than 95 million followers. Psalm 19:14 reminds us of the importance of God's guidance in our communication. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Dan Scavino in his role as assistant to the president. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Help support the prayer team by signing up for our matching challenge, now through July 4th. Details available at pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Missing the big picture. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Police officer Michael Langsdorf lay dying in the street. The officer gunned down in Wellston, Missouri, a suburb of St. Louis. A nearby store clerk broadcast video of the officer's final moments live on Facebook, and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch later published a link to the video. The store clerk has since apologized. She said she had initially called for help, then started filming as two women tried to comfort the officer. The Post-Dispatch later deleted the link and admitted they had used bad news judgment. We need to have a conversation about basic decency in this country. There was a time when Americans would go running to the danger to lend a helping hand. Nowadays, they just show up with a video camera, hoping to make a few bucks. Shame on the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Shame, shame, shame. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I believe in America. We said the Pledge of Allegiance. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. A lot of people skip over that word, indivisible. To me, that means that we're one people. We have one common denominator. That's a belief in God. That's a belief that our rights come from God and that government can't take those rights from us. I fought for our country in Vietnam. I fought for our country and its laws as Chief Justice. I fought for morality to preserve our moral institutions. And I'm ready to do it again. And yes, I will run for the United States Senate in 2020. My campaign site will be roymoore.org. It's very simple. I hope you can go to it and look and see what we stand for and what we're going to do in Washington. Can I win? Yes, I can win. Not only can I, they know I can. That's why there's such opposition.
All right, that's the voice of Judge Roy Moore, who has decided to toss his hat into the ring one more time. Why is that so stunning? Because you probably will recall, because I spent so much time on it, that in 2017, there was a campaign to destroy and undermine Judge Roy Moore in the most painful and personal and horrific way, by labeling him as a man who was, what they said was he was a pedophile. They inf- preferred that, and they also actually said it. You heard it in the news every night. He was running against, he was running in a primary against Doug Moore, who was the Democrat. And so there was so much money placed into that race. And this is after Judge Moore had achieved probably what hardly any other politician in Alabama had achieved, and that was something like 90-plus approval of the people of Alabama. He had been Chief Justice of the Supreme Court twice, besides serving as a judge on that on the Supreme Court for a number of years. People loved him in Alabama, and then this campaign broke out to absolutely destroy him. And in the end, Doug Jones ended up winning the primary, which was to fill the rest of Jeff Sessions' time in Senate. He only won, Doug Jones, by 2 points in 2017, in spite of that horrible information. Let me just say, it takes a tremendous amount of courage to do what Judge Moore has just done by him and his wife. To put themselves back in this fire is not a small thing. And so I've asked Judge Moore to join us this morning so we can talk about it. Good morning, Judge Moore, and thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Sandy. It's nice to be with you.
You know, this is not a small thing. And let me just say before we talk, I never hide the fact that I am one of your biggest admirers. You're a good friend. I believe you. I never wavered, not out of foolishness, but because I know your character. And so now that I see you and Kayla, your wife, taking this on again, I'm honestly in awe. And I want to ask you something. What was the catalyst that said to you, I'm doing it. I don't care. I'm going to go back in again. What caused you to make that decision?
Sandy, that's something that just from within, I can't let them win this way. I can't let evil survive and win over truth. And, of course, all it was false, and they know it. The people of Alabama know it, and we're going to fight it. And my wife joins with me. We've been married 34 years and have 4 children and 5 granddaughters. And, you know, it's very clear that they won wrongfully. And there was a lot of cheating, a lot of disinformation. And we can't let that go without fighting it.
Well, I agree with you. And I actually think that for the sake of your children and grandchildren, you needed to do this. That would, if you would ask me personally, that's what I would said to you. You need to prove to them. If there lest there be any lingering doubt that their grandpa and their dad is a man of his word and integrity, so let's talk about this for a second. Just say a word, if you can, possible, to say a word about the Birmingham Project. I did cover it on the air a lot. It was this entirely, even modestly funded, I would say, but cooperative effort between many on the left to start this smear campaign. Just say something about it, because I'm sure you know more about it even after these couple of years have taken place. What do we know?
Well, in January of 2019, it came out in New York Times, then Washington Post, then all of the papers, Boston Herald, across our country, that Project Birmingham and a disinformation campaign was put on in Washington in September of 2017. And we learned about it only, you know, at the beginning of this year. And all the papers reported it. But now you don't hear any information or any reporting of Project Birmingham because they want to make like it never happened. And actually, it did happen. Reid Hoffman, a billionaire, Microsoft billionaire from California, joined others in Washington, D.C. to put all the disinformation campaign. Now, a lot of people have been confused about what this is. It's high-tech gurus getting together and starting social media and putting out false information to depress Republican votes and rage the Democrats. And it's a false story. This is going on over and over in our politics, and it must be stopped. It's going on now with the president, it's gone on with Brett Kavanaugh, it went on with Justice Thomas. This is simply an effort to put out false information and confuse people right before the vote. And this happened with Washington Post coming on after this Project Birmingham began and putting out these false informations and false accusations against me. Yes, it was very embarrassing. Yes, it was something that we have never expected in the world, but it's something we've got to get used to, because in this world today, there is a lot of evil, and people are being confused. One of the reasons I took the stand of running again is because the people of Alabama were defrauded. It wasn't just me. And for that matter, it was the people of our country that are being defrauded. And politics has become so dirty that people don't want to get involved in it. And it takes someone to break that cycle, you know.
Yeah, no question about it.
I take criticism also.
Yeah, you know, I want to just a couple of things about the Birmingham Project I want to throw in, because I'm sure they're going to be trying this again. They actually created a website that people thought was a conservative website. And they pulled in and started. That was part of the huge deception. They targeted people who were your supporters to try to confuse them. And they also then ran a third-party candidate and acted as though he was like he was as conservative as you were, but he didn't have all that baggage. And so they tried to divide the vote, and they did do that. So, I mean, they have all kinds of tactics, and you know they're going to try it again. I guess the question I ask, you know, I've asked you this. I asked Kayla, your wife, what more can they do to you? I don't really think they could do anything to you that would be, unless they injure you or injure your family physically.
Yeah, I'm with you, Sandy. I don't know what more they could do. I said this before I ran, because I've been through 20 or 30 years of false accusations for one thing or another, and I thought surely people had seen this by now, but this was the ultimate, and it was well orchestrated. We had Democratic operatives from Washington joining in on it, and it worked because it was 32 days from election. I think that what's wrong in our society if people aren't using logic and reason anymore.
Yep.
It doesn't make any sense for somebody to wait 40 years to come out with such a ridiculous tale 32 days before the election. And they got by with it because it was impact. And then it's dropped. We haven't seen any of these people. They haven't been on. First, they came out on national television in 1 6-day period and acted like they'd never known each other. We haven't seen them since. We've been involved in court cases. I haven't been able to question one of the main ones. She hasn't come in. I haven't questioned anybody, quite frankly. They're nowhere to be found. But here's another election, and I'm sure that they've got something they'll come up with. And people are confused. People have to wake up to what's happening in our political system. That's who you elect to represent you in government, to get things done. No wonder nothing's getting done in our country.
Yeah, really. It's the truth, isn't it? It is really the truth. And speaking of that, let's get practical for a second, because a Senator, Doug Jones, has a record now. He's been in since 2017. And from your observation, just on the issues, what have we seen?
Well, he's been very liberal. He's voted against Justice Kavanaugh. He voted against Andrew Brasher, who was Solicitor General of Alabama, a graduate of Harvard, a person who's had excellent credentials. They want to stop conservative judges from taking the bench so they get the rulings they are getting across the nation. They know what they're doing. He's been very liberal about a right to life. He voted against the right to life. Voted for Planned Parenthood, voted just opposite of what anybody in Alabama thinks about their government. We've got to realize that this is a plan and it works, and it's politics. And when they get the majority in the Senate, we may be gone.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Interesting, the president, of course, weighed in on this. In reading his tweet, I was surprised it wasn't more. All right, I know the backstory here. I know that Mitch McConnell hates you. So do the Republican leadership. They would, before this information, which I'm sure they helped spread, came out, they already hated you. I had a front row seat to the Ten Commandments fiasco. You embarrassed them because of your principled stand on things. But the president, of course, supported you in your race initially. And then when the allegations came out, he withdrew his support. But this is what he's saying now. Republicans cannot allow themselves to again lose the Senate seat in the great state of Alabama. This time it will be for 6 years, not just two. I have nothing against Roy Moore, and unlike many other Republican leaders, wanted him to win. But he didn't and probably won't. Your response to that?
Well, that's exactly what they said about him. And, you know, I know he's receiving a lot of pressure from the NRSC that's vowed to take every step to investigate me, everything in my background. Yes, you're right. It is partly the Republican establishment. And you're also correct. And I've wondered why they take such a strong stand against me. Is it because I'm so conservative? I believe in conservative values, social and fiscal. Is it because of that, or is it because I acknowledge God? I recognize that you must acknowledge God to understand your religious freedom. Our forefathers understood these things very well. They understood the role of virtue and morality in a society, and as I heard from the newscast that you showed earlier, this is what's going on in our country. We've lost our moral compass. We've lost it in our churches. We've lost it in our institutions, in our political government. We've lost it in everything. And there is no portion of society that is not touched by this. And it's the knowledge of right and wrong. And these disinformation campaigns illustrate that very fact. They don't have any problem of lying and funding it. $750,000 was used alone by billionaire Reid Hoffman in this operation. He's since apologized. Of course, it doesn't help. The situation was successful from their perspective. But we're going to fight this. We're going to stand up for the truth for our country. If anybody wants to know any information, they can go to roymoore.org. That's our website, and they can find out what we stand for and what we're doing.
Yes, and I would just say, Judge Moore, I do think, you know, the deep issue, it is a spiritual battle. You and I both know that. But I think because of your strong commitment, which is embarrassing to them, but the real reason to them is that they know they can't control you. They know that if you get in the Senate and you actually uncover some of what's going on there, which is, honestly, I have a front row seat to that. It's disgraceful. It is disgraceful what they are doing. And I talk about it almost every day. And you will not sit quietly. You will not play the game. And they know that. That's why they've opposed several other conservative senators. The last thing they want is having them in Washington to sit in the Senate. So they're going to be after you again. You know that. In fact, there's an article written by in Town Hall. It says, "Please, Jeff Sessions, for all that is holy, run for Alabama Senate in 2020. And in this article, Matt Vespa repeats the allegations against you as though they were true. And so here we go again. And so this is going to be happening. I want to just say that for people in Alabama listening and anybody that wants to help, my understanding is that there is a website there that Dear Standstill, that is a strong supporter of you and will probably have regular information on your campaign. So I just want to give them a shout out. As you look at the, you know, you live there, you know, you are Alabama 100%. You've spent your life serving them, except for when you were in Vietnam, and you've served faithfully, Judge Moore, and you know the people well. Do you think they can recover from these accusations against you and send you to the Senate?
There's an old saying, Sandy, that you can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And I think that the people of Alabama have seen through these false tactics. They're quiet, naturally. They're getting a lot of pressure from the press and everything, and they're trying to start this again. But I think the people have seen through it with Brett Kavanaugh and others that it's just you've got to overlook the lies.
You have to have a different set of glasses on to navigate this. Just like we were talking about Google earlier, our minds are being controlled by other forces, and so we have to really use tremendous discernment to do what's right. And in this case, I think doing what's right is to support Judge Roy Moore. And all right, so thank you, Judge Morris. Appreciate the time with you always. God bless you and Kayla. Sandy Rios in the morning.
There were added that day about 3,000 souls. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The day of Pentecost concluded with 3,000 converts being added to the initial body of 120 believers. Then that 3,120 spent time together daily, going to the temple and interacting in each other's homes. They devoted themselves continually to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing meals together, and praying together. The 3,120 that made up the early church came from Turkey, the Middle East, and Africa, and included Arabs and Romans. In addition to the geographic and ethnic diversity, they also spoke different languages. Yet they were made one family in Christ Jesus. Scripture has the answer to the issues we face today.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
There's a lot happening around us. That's why Christians need to stand strong on family values and morality. Hi, I'm Ray Rooney, editor of The Stand, a blog from the American Family Association. The Stand has timely, carefully written articles on relevant cultural issues that you can quickly forward to others. The Stand is a beacon of light to a society in need of direction. Visit afa.net/the stand.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
Hi, this is Nancy Wesling, Executive Director of the Pregnancy Care Clinic in Salem, Illinois. J.J.'s helped us set a record for the most funds raised at our banquet.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. A recent Harvard study, which followed 5,000 young people for between 8 and 14 years, found that those who had a spiritually rooted upbringing were much more likely to be healthier and happier in early adulthood than those who did not. Not only did they report higher life satisfaction positivity in their 20s, they were much less likely to smoke, use drugs, or be depressed. They were 30% less likely to have become sexually active in adolescence and 40% less likely to have a sexually transmitted disease. The key for millennials to being happier and healthier as adults is to have parents who root them and ground them in God and His Word. My Boy to Man book is for fathers of 12-year-old boys to help dads mentor their sons on their way to adulthood. You can order a copy for yourself or a dad you love at afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. As President Trump heads into one of the most consequential meetings of his presidency with China's dictator for life, Xi Jinping, he's getting some very bad advice. If he takes it, Xi will be just one of America's enemies who will read it as a sign that Mr. Trump is not the resolute adversary he must be at this critical juncture. The president is under pressure to jettison his national security adviser, John Bolton. It's painful to see a friend and distinguished public servant subjected to extremely personal attacks by those at home and abroad whose transparent purpose is to weaken Mr. Trump and undermine America. For those of us who, by contrast, want Donald Trump to succeed with the myriad challenges now besetting his presidency and our nation, we can only pray that John Bolton continues to be his strong right hand. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Who knows what's going to happen? I can only tell you we cannot ever let Iran have a nuclear weapon, and it won't happen. The assets of Ayatollah Khomeini and his office will not be spared from the sanctions. I think a lot of restraint has been shown by us, a lot of restraint, and that doesn't mean we're going to show it in the future. But I felt that we want to give this a chance, give it a good chance, because I think Iran potentially has a phenomenal future. And I say that about North Korea, too.
All right, so that's the president talking about Iran. I haven't said much about that, but since Frank just talked about that, Listen, we have a serious problem here because John Bolton is a hawk on Iran for good reason. John has been watching Iran get away with murder and the maiming of American troops during the Iraq War. And the fact that I'm sure John knew when President Bush issued the authorization to invade Iraq that it should have been Iran. And so there's a lot to this. We know that Iran is the proxy. Iran is the one, it's the head of the snake. It's the one causing all the problems in the Middle East because it fancies itself, you know, the big dog, that it should be the leader, and it wants to be that. And so what you've got is John Bolton, who really is a hawk on Iran, and then you've got President Trump, who is not a hawk. Now, look, let me make a distinction here. It isn't that he isn't willing to strike or fight. It's just that he's not in favor of us sending our resources overseas to fight fights that are not our own. And so he really objected to the Iraq War. He was a strong opponent. He was very verbal about that during the time when it took place. And so he doesn't want to rush. That's just his nature. It's his pattern. It's his changeable, as people say he is. Some things have not changed about him. He is not eager to send our troops to fight in the Middle East, more of them. And he'll do what's necessary, I'm sure. So you've got this tension between President Trump, who does not want to use our resources to fight overseas, especially in the Middle East, and you've got John Bolton, who wants to, he wants Iran to be put in their place and stopped once and for all. So you've got this tension between them, and as I understand it, Mike Pompeo is kind of the middleman who tries to sort of sort things out. And that's, you know, that's the way the president likes to make decisions. You know what? I can understand that. Now, let me just say, look, what I did was nothing in comparison. But I would say when I was president of CWA, I loved those kinds of arguments, too. I had people, we would argue about these issues, and I'd see tempers flare, and we would sit and debate them, and I would listen. And then I had to make the decision. That was my job. And I loved, like President Trump describes, I loved hearing all the positions necessary so that I can make the best decision, take the best stand. The most wise, one that made the most sense. And so I understand what President Trump is doing when he wants these alternate viewpoints in the room. It actually is a good way to make decisions. And so that's kind of what's happening in Iran. We know that the president called off the strikes. We know why. I've talked about that yesterday. But now they are increasing these sanctions and making them very, very personal. As you probably know, they're now going to personally sanction the Ayatollah Khomeini, who is the supreme leader. He's the grand poobah, as it were, in Iran, because Iran is a religious state, and the actual leaders, they have military leaders and civil leaders, but the actual guy who pulls the strings is the Ayatollah Khomeini. And so they put sanctions, huge sanctions against him, along with 8 different senior commanders of the Navy, Aerospace, Ground Forces, and the Islamic Revolutionary Guards. And that means that all the funds they have in our banks or any assets that they might have in the United States will be frozen. These are my terms. I don't know that they're saying that. But they won't have access to them. And anyone who does business with them through these entities will be in danger of being put on this list too. So this is a very serious moment, and it's going to strangle Iran, and they're going to get really mad. They already are. They were shouting death to America yesterday as a result of the sanctions. And so it's a tense situation. And yet the thing of it is, you can't really allow them to just go on forever doing whatever they're doing. That's what we've been doing. That's why we're in this mess, because no one's ever really willing to set a really heavy boot down and say, stop it. We're not going to tolerate this. The president's doing that, so we'll see what happens. I wanted to just, this clip is kind of a, I was going to come back with this clip, but since Frank said what he did about, Ambassador Bolton, but National Security Advisor John Bolton, I wanted to talk about Iran just a little bit, since I had not. Now, back to the political things that are happening in this country. You guys, it's my Chicago. You people, y'all, might remember Carl Cameron, who used to be on Fox. And I remember Carl very well. Yes, I do. So certainly when I was at Fox, Carl was, in spite of what you might think and in spite of this clip you're going to hear, was always liberal. I knew that. His reports were always biased. They drove me crazy, to be honest. He was like a not gay Shepard Smith. That was Carl Cameron. He thought, I guess, he was fooling us, because this is what he's now saying. Clip 10.
Hey, do you know me? Do you think you know me? I'm Carl Cameron, and some know me as Campaign Carl, the guy on Fox News who covered elections and presidential campaigns since, like, forever. What's a former Fox guy doing here on Front Page Live partnering with progressives? Well, it's about facts, not partisanship. I was one of Fox's first hires. The idea of fair and balanced news appealed to me. But over the years, right-wing hosts drowned out straight journalism with partisan misinformation. I left. I have unique insight and understanding of how the right operates, and literally 30 years of covering Donald Trump. Trump's a con man. He did collude and coordinate with Russia to get elected. He encouraged them to intervene in the 2016 campaign on live television. We all saw it. And recently he said he'd accept their help again because he sees nothing wrong with it. We saw that too. And yes, he is still helping Russia by refusing to take strong actions to protect us from a future cyber attack. This is a state of emergency. Our next elections and democracy are at potential risk. My job, what I do, is inform. That's it. Make your own decisions. Just please be accurately informed.
All right. So, yay, Carl. Thanks for those facts that the president did collude and did coordinate with Putin and Russia. In case you wondered, I mean, the Mueller report didn't say that, but Carl is telling you the truth. And so, listen, Carl, not fooled. Sorry. I knew who you were when you were there. It was very apparent to us through your reporting that you were biased all the time and not for conservatives. So good luck with your new entity with progressivism. I'm glad you're at last being honest. That's all I can say. Now, I want to go back to this report. Oh, one other thing. I want to mention this. This is important. Another random story, but it's important. We now know that the American Communist Party, under the leadership, or with, I don't know if he's the leader he's part of, his name is Gregory Joy Johnson, is going to burn an American flag when the president does his July 4th salute to America. The president is going to be at the Lincoln Memorial at 6:30 p.m. on July 4th, ahead of the fireworks at dusk. And Joy is saying that they will be burning a flag. By the way, Joy Johnson is well known for winning a 1989 Supreme Court case that invalidated state laws against flag burning. The president, you may remember, is trying to get a, good luck with this, but he's trying to get a bill to pass that would make flag burning against the law once again. And I would love to see that myself. I don't know why in the world they, I guess it was for freedom of speech, but there, well, that's a subject for another day. A political speech yet, but yes, but there ought to be some things that are sacred. And loving your country is one of them. And so we've kind of gotten out of control. I was thinking about all of this stuff that's happening in our country that is so anti-American, including the preference of illegal immigrants over Americans, the Antifa, the lawless moves, you know, many things are very un-American. There's no question about it. We used to have a House committee on un-American activities. It was the one that, was stopped because of Joseph McCarthy's activities. But there used to be understood that there were people, even then, who wanted to destroy the country and that they should not be allowed to flourish. But somehow that became a dirty word. We have to now let them flourish and burn the flag in the process. Well, anyway, no one realizes or knows where they're going to do this, but this background from Washington Examiner says that Johnson and about a dozen fellow members of the Revolutionary Communist Party staged high-profile flag burnings in 2016 at the Republican and Democratic conventions. And by the way, this month, Johnson won $225,000 in a settlement from Cleveland, Ohio, over his arrest protesting Trump's nomination. This is what they said in the 2016. The communist group chanted as they burned the flag, "Burn that rag." He says, "I'm going to be there in D.C. talking about July 4th, and that rag of empire and oppression is going to burn." So that should be interesting. I think it's next Wednesday, isn't it? July 4th. And so that's something I'm sure we'll all see. The glorious burning of the American flag is disgusting to me. All right, so I want to go back to our story on James O'Keefe's video, because I want to emphasize that, because it needs to be emphasized. No one else is emphasizing it, so I'm going to. We hopefully will see that change. We're just going to be a drum beat here, and I know many of you are already sharing the video from James. We're putting it back on our Facebook today, and many of you have changed your search engine to DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo is just the one that I've heard people mention, speak highly of, so that's why I'm mentioning it, and that's why I'm trying it. So this is an article by George Rasley of Conservative HQ, and his title is Google Teaching Artificial Intelligence to Attack Conservatives. Fans of the Terminator series of science fiction action movies will recall that the Terminators were the product of an artificial intelligence defense system that turned against humans and decided to wipe out its creators. But what if Skynet had been programmed so that it only learned to attack white people or Christians or conservatives? The movie and the results of that dystopian vision of the future would have been a lot different, but not so different from what Jin Janai, the head of responsible innovation at Google Global Affairs, had in mind for Google's artificial intelligence when she told an undercover reporter for Project Veritas, "The reason we launched our AI principles is because people were not putting that line in the sand, that they were not saying what's fair and what's equitable. So we're like, well, we're a big company. We're going to say it. My definition of fairness and bias specifically talks about historically marginalized communities. That's why I care about it. That's what I care about. Communities who are in power and have traditionally been in power are not who I'm solving fairness for. That's not what I set up for inaudible people to address." In other words, you couldn't understand it. "That's not what I set up for blank people to address. Our definition of fairness is one of those things that we thought would be like obvious and everyone would agree to. There was the same people who voted for the current president who did not agree with our definition of fairness." Now, I'm going to give you an idea of what Google considers fairness. Let's listen to clip 18.
So what we see right here is, relative to the search term of Hillary Clinton's emails, Donald Trump's emails has no search traffic.
No search traffic. Now let's go back to Google.com and search for Donald Trump's emails, and it should show us no autocomplete, because according to Google, no one searches for it compared to Hillary Clinton's emails. But it does. It gives us a whole bunch of different examples for autocomplete. So nobody's, fewer people search for this, and it autocompletes. And everyone searches for Hillary Clinton's email, and it doesn't.
That's right.
What's the explanation?
Well, according to them, Hillary Clinton's emails is a conspiracy theory, and it's unfair to return results based on her emails. And so through their program of ML Fairness, they've deleted the autocomplete off the internet like it didn't even exist.
How did they do that? Was it manually? Was it a human being? Was it a machine, AI?
Well, the way that it works is that they're training the AI now with a bunch of humans that you could consider them social justice warriors or whatever you want to label them, but they are feeding the information and training the AI so that it will return results like this. And when they aren't able to train it, there's actually someone that will go through and manually delete certain keyword terms or put it as a blacklist.
You get the point. And so we got this video. We're putting it on our Facebook page, and hopefully it's still up. There's the embedding source that we're using. It's still playing. So hopefully you'll share this with others. I want you to, please, if you could. Well, look, if you feel so moved, do it and share it with your friends so that we can all fight back in the way that we can. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.